It's very good to be here tonight. I praise the Lord for giving me this opportunity. When Pastor told you that when I got here in 1988, I did not know English at all. You thought, oh, how am I going to understand him now? Oh, thank you, Pastor. I think I can go as much as until 12 o'clock tonight. No, he didn't say that. Good answer. Very good answer. But it's amazing what the Lord did for me when I got here. I remember I was visiting some churches with my pastor, Brother Rose. He'll be speaking in your church in September. And we went to a church, and the pastor of that church asked me very fast, "Romulus, how old are you?" And I thought that I had understood his question, so I answered, "I'm fine, thank you." That was an embarrassing situation, and I'm telling you that just to help you to understand how bad I was with my English. The Lord allowed me to go to Bob Jones, and I did not know English still, and I had to go through the classes, lectures, without understanding my teachers, and I had to take the books with me to my room, and I had to study extra, and the Lord just helped me, and now I think I am understandable, am I not? I think you can understand me. And it's amazing because if I can learn English, it means that Brother Tori here can learn Portuguese when he goes to Brazil. And actually, he surprised me because he stayed there 1 month, 2 months, about three. And when he came back, he was understanding very well. At least right now, we had to be careful when we were talking Portuguese when he was, next to us. Because he could understand us. At least he could have some idea of what we were saying. But brethren, I determined in my heart that I would give my testimony to every American church that I go. When I was 12 years old, still a child, I thought in my heart that one day in heaven, I thought in my heart and I said, "God, one day in heaven, I'm going to thank American Christians for their love and their concern toward my soul and for my country of Brazil." I did not know at that time that the Lord would allow me to speak personally to you before heaven, to thank you personally for what you have done, for your love, for your concern, for have sending missionaries to Brazil. I am a real result of American missionary work in Brazil. Your churches sent my pastor to Brazil, and through his ministry, I was led to Christ. And tonight, I'm only one Brazilian thanking you. But one day in heaven, many other Brazilians will thank you as well for what you, Christians of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, had done for us in Brazil. So I am a real result of your own work in Brazil. You may think that the Lord is going to give a lot of real word to the missionaries, and that's true. But you are going to receive your part also. The Lord knows and understands that without your help, missionaries could not go to Brazil and do what they are doing. So I praise God for you, and here I am to thank you personally for what you have done. So praise the Lord for that. God saved me when I was 12 years old. Though I was a child, my conversion was followed with a real change in my life. After 1 year I was saved, the Lord called me to be a missionary from Brazil to Brazil. After a powerful message on missions, I felt that the Lord was calling me to be a missionary. And more than that, I knew it in my heart that the Lord was calling me to be a church planter in Brazil. It is not very common to have nationals or Brazilian pastors establishing churches in Brazil among the independent Baptists. But I felt that the Lord was calling me to that. And I remember at that time some people saying that establishing churches is a ministry only for Americans because only the Americans have the tools for that. When I was a child, I used to be smarter than I am now. So I didn't buy that. And I thought in my heart that with the call, the Lord would also provide the tools to do His work. And the Lord has been good to me. He is giving me all the tools that I need in order to go back to Brazil, to needy areas of my country, to establish independent Baptist churches, like your church tonight. The Lord helped me to be born again under the ministry of a fundamentalist pastor. I grew up under his ministry. I grew up in a good local church. I was trained there. The Lord helped me to go through a Bible Institute before coming to Bob Jones University. Besides all of that, the Lord brought me to Bob Jones University as a Timothy student, and I am almost done with my training. Now, I would say one of the best parts of this is that the Lord gave me a wonderful wife. I had to pray hard for Rachel. My name is not Jacob, but I had to pray at least 7 years, very hard, to convince her to get married with me. And I did. Actually, I believe that was the will of God for us. And the reason I'm telling you that is because I believe that behind the life of every successful man, there is a great woman. And the sisters here may say amen if you want to. But that's my own opinion, and I believe so. So God has been good to us, and now I'm telling you what we are planning to do when we go back to Brazil. We solicit your prayers very much. Therefore, I brought some prayer cards, and I left them in the back. Before going home tonight, I would like to ask you to have one of them, put them in your Bible, and try to pray for us, because we are trying to raise our support in 1 year. You know, that's not very easy. As much as I know, it is taking American missionaries at least 3 years to raise their support. And we are trying to do that in 1 year. But we just started last January, and right now we already have 15% coming in. So we praise the Lord for that. But we still have one more year to go through, and I'm going to school, I'm working, and also I'm going on deputation at the same time. So I ask you to pray that the Lord will make our ministry possible in Brazil. Now, before going to the message tonight, I would like to ask Rachel to come here, and she's going to give a brief testimony so you can know something about her also.
As the pastor mentioned, I was born in Brazil in a missionary home. My parents, Tom and Linda Gilmer, have been missionaries in Brazil for over 24 years now. Of course, being born in a missionary home did not automatically make me a Christian. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior when I was 7 years old, and 2 years later, I felt Him calling me to be a missionary. I graduated last year from Pensacola Christian College in music education. I think it's wonderful that here in the States, even small churches usually have two or three pianists, but in Brazil, it's not unusual for a church with 200 people to not have a single person that can play the piano. So as I go back to Brazil, I plan to teach music to interested people. I praise the Lord for the upbringing which I had. I feel it was the best preparation that I could have to be now a missionary's wife. And I hope that you'll pray for us that, as my husband mentioned, we'll be able to raise all of our support before going back to Brazil a year from now. And also pray that the Lord will bless our future ministry. Thank you.
You know, besides learning English, I had to learn some Southern English also. And I'm serious. I know how to say some words in Southern English. See, I have a Southern Portuguese accent now. Rachel's grandparents, they live in Gainesville area, Georgia. And I remember coming to see them for the first time, and I had a hard time to understand them because I was, you know, learning English from New Jersey. So it's another kind of English, if we can say that. I'm trying to convince Brother Tori to come to São Paulo State in order to learn Portuguese there rather than going up to the north, you know, and learn Portuguese with the people from the north. So, you know, this kind of problem is very common in every country. So don't worry about that. But I had to learn words like, how are y'all? Y'all come back now. Y'all be careful. But I think I'm doing pretty good. Could you please open your Bibles to the first book of Timothy, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2. I am preaching tonight on the ministry of universal prayer. The ministry of universal prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We can never talk too much on prayer. On Wednesday night, we usually have our famous prayer meeting. When we get together, besides hearing the word of God, we also pray for one another. And that's very important. And tonight I want to take advantage of this opportunity, and I want to challenge you about the necessity of exercising universal prayer in your life. And the reason I'm emphasizing the word universal is because it is not very difficult for us to challenge Christians to pray for themselves. But it takes time for us to convince our own flesh to intercede for others, to intercede for members of our church, to intercede for members of other churches, and also to intercede for missionaries that are working and preaching the gospel around the world. And we are going to notice tonight in this chapter of 1 Timothy that we as the church and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to exercise universal prayer. So I'd like to invite you to stand on your feet and read with me from verse 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be in the house of God. Thank for this church, O Lord. Help us now to give our complete attention to the word of God, and that the Holy Spirit will speak in our hearts. If there is someone in our midst, O Lord, without the Savior Jesus Christ, we ask you now, Lord, to touch that heart, that that person will get saved before going home tonight. We praise you and we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Prayer is one of the ways to obey the Great Commission of Jesus. As missions involve all the world, our prayers must include all men. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is giving instructions about prayer. And it is obvious that the Church of Jesus Christ cannot fulfill its responsibilities toward God or toward men without universal prayer. Paul is an example of universal prayer. He was the apostle of the Gentiles and of the Jews. And he himself prayed for both of them. And he said in 1 Corinthians, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." In other words, pray for all men because I do the same. George Miller, well known for his prayer life, he not only prayed for God's provision over his orphanages, but he believed that God had saved over 30,000 souls as a specific result of his prayers. Someone asked him, "But how come your prayers are so successful?" And he said, "First of all, because I believe that the Lord is willing to answer my prayers. Second, I believe that the Lord is willing to save man. And third, I do not regard iniquity in my heart against the Lord. Therefore, my prayers are successful." Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, he learned with George Miller the great lesson of trusting God through prayer. Actually, through his prayer, Hudson Taylor moved the life of men and women. God increased the number of missionaries in China from 1 to 1,000 as a specific result of Hudson Taylor's prayer. We may well say tonight that the spiritual secret of Hudson Taylor was faith in prayer. Now, my brethren, my and your ultimate example of universal prayer is Jesus Christ himself. God, in the form of man, did not despise the necessity of praying for all mankind. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ remembered you and me at the cross of Calvary when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I believe that Christians are overlooking many opportunities to influence society
because of the lack of universal prayer in their lives. According to the Apostle Paul, we must exercise universal prayer in our lives in order to be an influence in this world. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church can do a lot for Johnson City, can do a lot for Tennessee State, can do a lot for the United States of America, and can do a lot for the country of Brazil as long as your people pray for us. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul gives at least three reasons why you and I should exercise universal prayer tonight. And first of all, we see that we Christians must pray for all men because we have the command to pray for all men. And that's a simple reason, isn't it? We should obey God, and that's good enough for us, just because He's commanding us to do so. As a mother, as a father, you want your children to obey you immediately. And you say, son, do this for me, and your son will obey you immediately with a joyful heart, and you'll be so pleased with him. And he is not going to inquire from you, daddy, why? Why should I do that? Why do I have to do this? But he will follow your instructions because he trusts you. And the same is true with God. And God is telling us that we must pray for all men. And our prayers, first of all, must include petition. Petition because the words supplication, prayers, and intercessions have almost the same meaning. And they express a want or a need. And of course, in this case, we are interceding for others. We are asking God for the sake of others. For example, in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Listen, the Apostle Paul is not naming, or he's not numbering names here. He's not saying any name. He's not being specific like you and I like to be when we are praying. But he's praying for a nation, an entire nation. And I believe that a lot of Jews were saved because of this prayer. And if tonight you pray that the Lord will save great number of souls through the ministry of Brother Tori or Brother Romulus in Brazil, even you are not specific about the numbers, you are not specific about the people, but God has still heard your prayers. And a lot of Brazilians will be saved because you cared in praying for them. And here the Apostle Paul is just doing that. It is very important that we ask God to save the unsaved people. It is very important that we take advantage of all opportunities that we have to intercede for the unbeliever. I think about the invitation time we have after services, after every services in our church. There, when the pastor is almost done with his message, and there comes the time for the invitation, Christians will look at their watch and they will think, in a few minutes, I'll be back home. In a few minutes, I'll be home. But brethren, during the invitation time, we have a real opportunity to intercede for someone who does not have the Lord Jesus Christ and perhaps is just in our midst. And we will pray and intercede for that person, and the Holy Spirit will touch that heart and will bring that person in front of this altar, and because of your prayers, that person will be saved. So we must take advantage of our opportunities and pray for the salvation of man. Another element of our prayers that we must include is praises. For here we read that we must pray with thanks, giving of thanks. In other words, we are being thankful and grateful to God for all men. Yes, we must be thankful to God for all men. Mainly for those that are in authority above us. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, Nero was the emperor of Rome. And you know that Nero was a heathen, a wicked man, and a lot of Christians were killed under his hands. And Paul himself would be one of them very soon. But even so, the Apostle Paul is telling to Timothy and to all the church at Ephesus that they should be thankful to God for Nero. Not for his evil personality, not for what he was doing wrong, but for his position. He was not there as an authority without the permission of God. And here they were, supposed to praise God for Nero. So many Christians desired that Saddam Hussein die and go to hell. But instead, we should desire that God will save Saddam Hussein, change his life, and through that event, many others will come to the knowledge of the truth. My father-in-law, Thomas Gilmer, is a missionary among the Jewish people in Brazil, and he loves Israel. He wrote a letter to Saddam Hussein. Probably, Saddam did not get that letter, but someone did. And in that letter, my father-in-law is saying, Saddam Hussein, if you believe that you are actually a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, you should remember that Nebuchadnezzar was converted to the God of Israel and was saved, and you should do the same. And in that letter, he explained the plan of salvation. But listen to that. He tried and he prayed for that man's soul. Though you and I don't agree with anything that he had done, we must pray for his soul, because the Lord Jesus Christ died for him as well as he died for you and for me. When I go back to Brazil next year, it will be very easy for me and Rachel to criticize our country, to criticize our government, because we are facing a very high inflation in Brazil right now. Last time I heard, we had 25 to 30% of inflation in Brazil. But instead of going back to Brazil to criticize our government, you know what we have planned to do? We are going to pray that God will bless our government and make them a blessing, mainly to the spreading of the gospel. So as you notice here tonight, universal prayer will be a real blessing to the unsaved man as long as you and I exercise it. But not only that, we also as Christians receive blessings as we pray for all men. And this is the second reason why we should pray for all mankind. Christians have the blessing of praying for all men. The Apostle Paul is telling Timothy to intercede for others, but personal blessings are also the result of universal prayer. And the first blessing that you are going to receive as you pray for all mankind is social blessings. And you want to be socially blessed? In a few weeks, you are going to celebrate 4th of July here in this church, and you are going to thank God for the United States of America and for the freedom that you have here. And this is a social blessing. And do you know why you have freedom in this country to preach the gospel? Because Christians, when they came to this country, to colonize this country, they prayed for social blessings. And you're going to keep the same social blessings as long as you remember your leaders in prayers. And the same is true with us in Brazil. So social blessings is the first blessing that you receive. The Apostle Paul says in verse 2, that we Christians may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The words quiet and peaceable bear the same meaning as tranquility. And we must pray for kings and for authorities that they will not be hostile against the preaching of the gospel. Freedom is very important for the spreading of the gospel. For so many years, we prayed for the country of Russia. And tonight, I believe with all my heart that if we have freedom in that country, it is because we prayed for them. If tonight we can send missionaries to Russia, if tonight we can send missionaries to Romania, it's because of our prayers. And it is so hard to believe that we even don't remember anymore that we prayed for that country. Tonight, our prayers for that country must be that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into that harvest. 2 years ago, Dr. Bob Jones III asked the entire student body to pray for the elections in Brazil. A communist candidate was likely to win the elections, and God heard our prayers in that the conservative candidate won the elections with only 1% of difference. That is God's people praying and God's helping us, so we can spread the gospel. I tell you, if we had a communist president right now in Brazil, would be not very easy for Brother Tory to go to Brazil next year as a missionary. But by the grace of God, we have a conservative candidate. And we are going to pray that God will maintain those social blessings in our country so the word of God may be spread and people will be saved. But we are not going to maintain that freedom if we don't pray heartily for them. The mayor of São Paulo, the third largest city in the world, is a communist woman. She prohibited Christians to perform street meetings during her first year of service. What are we going to do about her? Are we going to ask God to remove her from her place? Maybe. Are we going to curse her and ask the Lord to kill her? Never. But we are going to pray that she'll be saved. Can you imagine if that lady is a communist woman, suddenly becomes a real Christian and believe God and believe in the Word of God? And we can cause that in her life if we pray for her. So when I was reading and studying this passage in the Bible, I learned some lessons. And this is one of them, that it is my responsibility and your responsibility to keep our social blessings in our countries or wherever we go to preach the gospel. We must pray for those that are in authority for the sake of Christianity. Now, a second blessing that we receive, and I know you are here tonight because you came after blessings. I came here tonight to receive a blessing, and you came here tonight to receive a blessing. You came here to worship the Lord, to praise Him, to have fellowship with your brethren, and also to receive a blessing. And a second blessing that you can receive as you pray for all mankind and for others, not only for yourself, is spiritual blessings. The Apostle Paul says in verse 3, "For this, universal prayer, is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." The word good and acceptable bear the meaning of pleases and honors God when we pray for all men. We are pleasing the Lord, we are honoring the Lord when we are exercising prayer of intercession in our lives. What is your purpose in life, my brother, my sister? My purpose in life as a Christian is to please the Lord, is to honor the Lord. And here, according to the Apostle Paul, we are going to honor and please the Lord when we pray for others. When you are praying for missionaries in Brazil, when you're praying for other countries, when we are praying for brethren in your church, you are pleasing the Lord. And if that is your purpose in life, you must exercise universal prayer and receive a real spiritual blessing through that. If you want to receive more spiritual blessing than what you have, start from now on praying for others. Start from now on having a ministry of universal prayer in your life. And I say a ministry because it is going to take your time. It is going to take your thoughts. It is going to consume your day sometimes to pray for others. But it is worth, it is a real blessing to do that. Finally, we see here that universal prayer is a commandment from God. We see that universal prayer is a channel of blessings even for Christians. And last of all, we must exercise universal prayer, brethren, because the Word of God is universal. Do you know why you send missionaries to Brazil? Because the same gospel that saves in the United States of America is the gospel that will save in Brazil. It doesn't depend on culture. It doesn't depend on economic situation. It doesn't depend on anything. The same gospel that we preach here, we are going to preach in Brazil. The Word of God is universal. Therefore, my prayers and your prayers must be universal. Your vision, my vision, must be universal. And this is here in the Word of God. The last reason for praying for all mankind is that Christians, you and I, have the message of hope to share with all men. Verses 5 through 7, I'm going to read them shortly. We see here that God's interest for the world is proved by the incarnation and atonement of Jesus Christ. And we see that the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus, is one and only one, but we can find two parts in this gospel. First of all, according to the Apostle Paul, Christ Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And Christ Jesus is a ransom for all men. So the first thing that I want to present to the unsaved man and the woman is that Christ Jesus is the mediator. Read with me verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. As the mediator, Jesus intercedes before God and man. And he intercedes for you and for me in order to restore peace and friendship which were broken because of our sins. And Jesus is the only mediator. And my friend, tonight, if you are saved, you have the responsibility of taking this message that Jesus is the only mediator to the unsaved, to your neighborhood, to your neighbor, to your relatives, those that don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. And let me help you to understand the meaning of the word mediator. I don't want you to go out of this church tonight without understanding that Jesus is the only mediator. And what does it mean? Brother Gary, Brother Tori, and Brother Jeff, could you please help me here? I'm going to give you a vivid illustration and show you that Jesus is the only mediator. And you will never forget that in your life. So Brother Tori represents God the Father. Brother Jeff represents humanity, you and me. And Brother Gary, please, in the middle, he represents Jesus Christ. Now they hold hands. And see, Jesus Christ, as the mediator, connect mankind, man, with God. Without Jesus Christ, man could not come to God. There is a gap there, and man cannot walk through that gap. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, the world doesn't have any hope. So Jesus Christ is the bridge that will connect man with God. And you know what? You and I have this message of hope. If we don't give this message, who is going to? The rocks? The benches? The bricks? No, they are not going to do that for us. God gave this obligation, if I can say that, and I can, to you and to me. And we have this message of hope tonight. That Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Thank you, brethren. Appreciated that. Have you heard about Mariolatry? Mariolatry is adoration of Mary. And Mariolatry is very strong in Brazil and in many other countries of the world. Mariolatry is probably very strong in Maryland, isn't it? Even here in your country, you have some Mariolatry going on. The Catholic Church believes that Mary is the mediator between God and man. My Bible does not teach me that. My Bible teaches me that Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. And when I go back to Brazil, I have to present this message of hope to the Catholic people of my country. Because they have faith in Mary. They don't have faith in Jesus. They have to take their faith from Mary and put it in Jesus in order to be saved. And this is the message that I have to take to them. If Mary had such a power at the cross of Calvary, Jesus would not command or commit her into John's care. He would have committed John into her care. But Mary was a godly woman. But she needed Jesus like you and I do. Mariolatry, adoration of Mary. The second part of this message is that Christ Jesus is a ransom for all men. It is here in verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all. I like that word all, don't you? It makes me feel good. I know that I can go to any man and I can look at his eyes and I can say in my heart, that man can be saved. Jesus Christ also paid a ransom for him. Because the Bible tells me that Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. And the word ransom was actually the price paid for the slaves in the Old and New Testament, in the Bible. And you know that before you got saved, you were a servant of sin. If you are here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, if you are here tonight without assurance of your eternal salvation, I don't care if you're a good citizen, a good husband, a good father, a good son, a good daughter, if you don't have assurance of your salvation in your heart, according to the word of God, you are a servant of sin. And I'm just quoting what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Every lost man is a slave of sin. And Jesus says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And ye shall know the truth. Someone tell me, and the truth shall make you free. I was free when I got saved. When I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, I was not under the bondage of sin anymore. I did not become perfect, but I became free. And tonight you can also become a free person by having the Lord Jesus Christ, the only hope for the world, in your own life, in your heart. Therefore, we must pray for all men that they will come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is the will of God, that we may pray that men will come unto the knowledge of the truth. And the Bible says that God Himself, in the person of Jesus, gave a ransom for all. For 10 years, I prayed for my brother to be saved. Humanly speaking, my brother could not be saved. He was involved in alcohol, drugs, and spiritism. For more than 5 years, I could not have a normal conversation with my brother. A few months ago, I called Brazil, and I heard from his own lips that he got saved and is trying to serve the Lord. But remember, 10 years of prayer, and I can number in my fingers the times that I did not pray for him. Brethren, if I didn't challenge you to exercise universal prayer, I do hope that God at least challenged you to believe that He wants to save man. And your prayers is going to make that possible. So more than any other thing, I ask you to pray for us. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Could you please close your eyes? I would like to close this message tonight by saying this. We must exercise universal prayer. First of all, because this is God's commandment. Second, we Christians receive blessings when we pray for others. And third, we Christians have the message of hope for all mankind, and we can deliver this message through our prayers. I was in Bible Institute when my pastor, Jimmy Rose, brought a powerful message on prayer. That day, without telling one another, all the students went to the back of the building and we prayed together, and we got right with God about praying to Him, about being faithful in prayer. I'm afraid that even here in this church tonight, we have Christians that are not being serious about their ministry of prayer. And they need to get right with the Lord tonight and ask the Lord to help them to do their best. But before, I want to ask you a very important question. Is there someone here tonight who could say, "Preacher, if I die today, I don't know where I'm going. I'm not sure about my salvation, and I would like to raise my hand and ask you to pray for me right now. Preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure where I'm going. Please pray for me because I understand that Jesus is my only hope." Could you please raise your hand and let me pray for you right now? Right now. You may be a child, a teenager, young adult, an old adult. Doesn't matter. You need the Lord Jesus and you are not sure about your salvation. Please, don't let this opportunity go. If you need to be saved, raise your hand and let me pray for you right now. Is there someone here tonight who would like to say, "I understood through this message my duties as a Christian, and I'm here to honor and please God. My life will have no sense if I'm not pleasing and honoring Him. I'd like to ask prayer for myself because from now on, I want to be faithful in prayer. And I want to pray and I want to be a blessing to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church as a man or a woman of prayer. Please pray for me. Could you please raise your hand?" Amen. We are going to pray for you. Someone else. Yes. Someone else. You would be amazed to see how much the Lord can do through your prayers. Don't look for results right now, but one day in heaven, you are going to know how much you did through your prayers. If your prayers were not important, God would not command you to pray. So raise your hands if you want me to pray for you right now, because you want to be a man or woman of prayer. Someone else. Amen. We are going to pray now, and after that, Pastor will come and he will lead the invitation as the Lord lays on his heart. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you because we preached from the Word of God tonight. And now, Lord, I ask you that if there is someone without Jesus, please, Lord, we intercede for that soul right now in prayer, asking you to convince that person to come here and allow us to show him or her how she or he can be saved. Lord, thank for those Christians that were sensitive, and I know many others were sensitive as I was preaching. Now I ask you, Lord, that each one of us will be serious about praying and having fellowship with our God. We don't understand why you want to have fellowship with us, Lord, but please don't let us to miss this opportunity to pray and have fellowship with our God and Savior. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful in prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Play through softly. Just some invitation to him. Go ahead. If God's spoken to your heart, you need to come to this altar tonight. He's wanting you to be a man or woman, a young person of prayer. A mom or dad that knows how to pray and get things from God. Spending time every day in prayer. Or maybe tonight you can't say that I've been set free in Jesus Christ. I'm saved and free from sin. Been delivered, saved, on the way to heaven. If you can't say that, it'd be a good time tonight to make sure you're saved. Anyone else? Play through softly one more time while he's praying here. If you want to, if the Lord's spoken to your heart, come on. We'll never have power in our lives until we spend time daily, daily in prayer, praying about everything. Not just big things, but about everything. Praying for our church. Praying for our missionaries. Praying for our family, our husbands, wives, sons, daughters. Pray for your preacher. Pray about everything. Pray for God's power and God's blessing in your life.